And welcome back to the World's Greatest Online Magazine Presents, the Half-Baked Podcast. We don't want to, but we have to, so we're going to start talking about the Twins. As we discussed before we just went into this, I believe we were going to start with why, God, why?
I mean,
anyone?
They've gone from being like horrifically awful to just breathtakingly mediocre. So,
yeah, I was gonna say there's been progress, if that's what you want to call it. But yeah, I think that's where we're sitting.
They're playing as a 500 team, and until the end of the month, I feel like that's the team they would have for as long as they were allowed to have it.
Well, I think I don't remember all the numbers. Gleeman posted it on Twitter, and I posted it on the site, but just something like, if it's five runs or less, they're like a 750 team or something like that. But besides that, they're like a, 080 team. If they, if the opposing team scores more than five runs, which unfortunately has happened a breathtaking amount of times.
Right. And I'd be interested in seeing what the stats of that nature are for other teams, because I don't think there are a lot of teams that do really, really good when their pitchers give up a buttload of runs, but we definitely don't.
The key here is that the Twins pitchers give up a buttload of runs very, very often.
Yes. Yes.
So, what do we do with this season, friends?
Burn it.
Well, besides the obvious choice of burning it to the ground, do you just trade everybody right now, or what?
Well, and that gets into what you think is like. So, honestly, that gets into the draft and like what
everything
during the draft, because the draft, and I know we're skipping ahead a little bit, but that draft. Yeah. The way the GMs handled that draft, really strongly implies that they don't think that 2022 is going to be much of a season at all.
Just an FYI, American League teams, when they allow six runs or more, have a 130 win percentage overall. So
that's
not a good strategy.
A little worse than that, but pretty close to
right.
Well, I think the point of that was just the amazing difference that the Twins have when they score five runs or less. Like, seriously, they're probably one of the best teams in the league. If your opponent doesn't score any runs,
right? Everyone is the best team in the league when you keep your opponent from scoring.
I think really the point that was trying to be made there is that it happens all the time.
Yeah, the 36 losses was the problem, not the percentage of those losses. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, The problem isn't so much that we're a terrible team when it happens, it's just that it happens so often.
And therefore, we're a terrible team.
Yeah.
Well, again, so, are the Twins a terrible team?
The Twins have a terrible pitching staff, which turns them from a okay team, way more okay than the good team that I thought they were going to be, but the pitching staff takes them to actual just badness.
Well, again, I think the Twins are an average team that had a terrible, terrible month. Like from like April 15th or like whenever they went on that COVID break to like a month later, their record, they were like 15 games below 500 over a month. And other than that, they're a little bit above 500.
Yeah.
I think so that goes back to my question though. Are these guys did they just have a rough streak for a while, or
I think that with this pitching staff, they are a little bit over 500 of a team, which isn't going to be enough to get them back into anything.
Oh, just in case, at this moment they are at a 438 win percentage, 39-50. So I'm sorry, Jeff A. We are not going 162-0 this year.
That has been established.
112-50 this year either.
No, they are not doing that either. No.
I think that they would almost certainly end up, assuming that they didn't get rid of everybody, which they're going to, but I mean they would almost certainly end up right around 75 wins.
Yeah, I can kind of feel that.
They're not going to, but they would.
Okay. But look, I mean, this is only interesting in the context of trying to figure out what the where we go from here is, right? Like, you trying to determine, okay, are we a terrible team or are we an okay team that had one bad month but maybe not could
lucky,
be taken from okay to good again, you know, by in that and by next year, and that affects what the kind of decisions you're going to make in the next couple weeks, right? Because if you're a terrible team, then you probably need to rebuild over the course of multiple seasons to get back to a real competitive window. But if you're an okay team that is still close to being good, then maybe you can be good again in 2022.
I mean, the only thing that matters is, are you going to have a decent pitching staff next year or not? They can put together a decent lineup, but can they put together a decent pitching staff? Is Maeda, I mean, he's obviously not like one of, he's obviously not second place Cy Young good, but I don't think he's 6 ERA bad, but where exactly does he fall on that? He's not going anywhere, so he's going to be in the rotation. Is he an asset or is he just kind of there?
I want to fall on the side that he's an asset. And he's been picking it up a little bit the past few starts, right?
Yes. He's been better. He's been better recently, yeah.
So, but I mean, that the pitching, how do you even start to address that?
Well, look, I mean, okay, so you have, right now you have, of your current starting rotation, which is basically Barrios, Maeda, Happ, Pineda, and Bailey Ober, right? And Bailey Ober is a rookie. You know, two of those guys are definitely free agents next year. Happ and Pineda should be traded within the next 2 weeks for a bucket of baseballs. If anything. I mean, Happ might not even get you a bucket of baseballs.
No, Happ he'll get you half of a bucket of baseballs.
They might just have to, you to give them a bucket of baseball.
Right. You might just be stuck
with Happ. He's got a winning record, you guys.
But you won't have that spot filled with him next year. And you won't have a spot filled with Mike Pineda next year either. And
probably not.
Yeah, and you have Jose. And of course, the biggest question is, you only have Jose Barrios under control for one more year. That's the thing.
Okay. Oh, well, you know what? While we're here, let's talk about it. Do you trade him?
That goes to the question of whether you think you're going to come. I mean, besides the question of whether you think there's going to be a season in 2022, the question of whether you think you're going to contend in 2022. If you don't think you're going to contend, you should trade him right now.
Well, the Twins thought they were going to contend this year.
Right, and they didn't.
No, they did not. Well, we assume they will not. All signs point to that on the Magic 8 Ball. So do you just trade everyone? Do you trade Barrios? Do you trade Buxton? Do you trade them all?
I mean, I don't know. Buxton, I don't know how much you can get for him right now because of his being injured right now.
Right.
If he wasn't injured right now, I would, you know, Buxton would go in the same category as Barrios because he's also under control for one more year.
Right.
He might be more of a winner trade candidate, but.
So we're just going to trade everyone, right?
I mean, again, it's like, what, you know, either that or extend. I mean, Buxton, you might be able to work out a new contract with on the flip side. I don't think there's any chance that Jose Barrios is pitching for the Twins after 2022.
No, I don't see it.
So again, as with Barrios especially, it comes down to if you're not going to contend next year, there's no reason to have Barrios on the team next year.
Well, we'll see what the front office is going to do. Are you guys going to throw in the towel though for 2022?
My equation is to say I don't know if this team can contend with Jose Barrios next year. Divish, what do you think?
Other than the White Sox, and I know the White Sox are just starting to come into it, but it's such a weak division otherwise. If it was like the East or something, you toss them a towel because, man, the East is sack. But the White Sox are the – next year there's going to be three sub-500 teams without the Twins included in there. I don't know if I could throw in the towel on that yet.
Indians are keeping their head above water for now.
Well, yeah. Next year, they're going to be, next year, by next year, Cleveland is going to be toast. The Royals aren't coming up yet, and the Tigers are...
The Royals are worse than the Twins, actually.
They are.
The Tigers will eventually, in like... I don't know if baseball as we know it will survive until the Tigers are good again.
I think Pete is being a little harsh on the Tigers. I actually think the Tigers are putting some pieces together.
Well, they'll get there before the Royals. Well,
they've got enough twin pieces with them to
go. That's because the Royals are still under the management of Dayton Moore, who has no clue how to put together a good team that he doesn't luck into over the course of the weirdest two season run in history.
Oh man, they are the most recent World Series winners out of this division.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's why you got to cheer for the White Sox this year.
Oh, yeah.
Don't tell me what to do.
I don't think you throw in the towel on the 2022 season just because this division sucks so bad and will suck next year.
Okay, I mean, this is just just to say we like Jose Barrios, so we don't want to see him.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. If you want to keep an eye towards 2022, what kind of moves do you make now? Maybe not Barrios. Maybe you keep him for another year. Are you trading your Keplers, your Sanos, if somebody would take him?
I mean, I'd trade Sano yesterday if somebody would take him.
I mean, if somebody were to give me a new table lamp for Miguel Sano, I would absolutely give them $50 in addition to it.
Sano is another guy for a completely different reason that I am fully confident will not be a Twin after 2022. He has a $2.75 million buyout on an option for 2023. So they're going to have to pay that. And that's plus the $9 million he's owed for 2022. I'm 100% confident he's going to get that option bought out by whoever has his contract next year. Which will be the Twins, probably. I'll hit Kepler quick. I mean, Kepler would be an interesting trade candidate to me because the Twins do have outfield pieces, corner outfield pieces.
Here's the problem for me with Kepler is that he gives them the flexibility for the 60 plus games where Buxton is not on the field.
Mm.
And he's a really good fielding right fielder, which a lot of the people we're talking about are not.
Right.
And if we're not going to have Buxton in center field, it would be nice to have someone who can play the outfield.
The flip side is, yeah, Kepler is, if you're really set on trying to contend in 2022, Kepler is a guy I would also keep. Yeah.
That was going to be how I was going to phrase the question is,
yeah,
who, looking through this in a lens of we would like to compete in 2022, who do you trade then?
Everyone who's a free agent this year.
Well, that's the obvious choice.
Right.
But I mean, what are the hard decisions? Like Arias, Kepler.
I wouldn't trade Arias. I don't think
Arias. Excuse me, Arias. Yes.
I mean, I try. You know, I think I don't know if anyone will take him. I'm not saying this from the position of I think he's an awful player who's hurting this team because I think he's been one of the four most valuable people on the team easily, But he also is not a free agent this year. And I think if you want to contend next year, you can without him. If anyone would take him, I would trade Josh Donaldson right now.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like one of the main people.
I agree in that, yeah, he's been incredibly valuable. But the money that is being tied up, whether they would do this or not is another matter. But the money that is being tied up with him would probably, with this particular team, if they are going to try to contend in 2022, be more valuable over on the pitching side than it would be at third base. Whether or not they would do that, whether or not another team would free that up or anything, or whether they would even shift that money over to pitching, or whether they just put it in the pocket, who knows? But if you were going to try to compete in 2022, that would be the way to do it.
I was going to say, Donaldson seems like one of the more intriguing trade candidates. One, he's been picking it up a bit recently, which is great. But just like the name value, basically. I mean, a lot of GMs right. still are kind of suckers for that. So
right.
I think he's one of the better. And he's signed through, is it this year or through next year?
He has 2 years after this. Okay. And I think he also has some kind of, it might be a mutual option, but he has some.
He has 2 years and then a team option for 2024.
Okay, a team option for 2024. Okay. So that's, yeah, that's not that.
That's pretty friendly, and I don't think we didn't sign them for a ton. So again, that's an attractive trade option.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume the Twins would have to, I mean, it's what 23 million. I would assume Twins would have to eat some of that, but probably not a whole. But I mean, since it's two more years, they probably wouldn't have to eat a whole lot of all of the rest of the term. But they could probably, you know, they can afford to eat some of it for this year. Because they should have, and I feel that way about every contract they might trade this year. They should be able to eat some money on any trades they make, because they would have been planning to contend this year. And so they would have been planning to be spending all of the money this year.
Let's look at it this way. Who should the Twins absolutely not trade?
Any of the young guys.
That's an answer right there. That's an answer.
Any of the young guys.
There.
Like, they're not going to trade Alex Kirilloff right now.
Of course.
They're not going to trade Trevor Larnach right now. You know, it's Kirilloff. I mean, we spent 2 years waiting for them to trade some of those guys for pitching at past deadlines, and now suddenly those are the guys who are definitely not going to get traded.
Yes, keeping the young core is basically
Yeah. I mean, it pretty much breaks. That's like, I think the most interesting people. I mean, anyone who's under. I mean, honestly, Niedek falls into that category too. Him and Donaldson and Kepler and Polanco, the guys who are veterans who are under multi-year contracts still.
Maeda is actually an interesting name to put up there. He's been picking up his stats lately, so you could conceivably get something for him.
Yeah. You could. I mean, I don't know if you trade him if you're not also going to trade Berríos, because I think you'd probably want both of them if you're really going to go for next year.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you are going to trade Berríos, you might as well see what you can get from Maeda right now too, because I don't think you're going to contend again in the window that he's here. You know, and same with bullpen guys. Like, I mean, Hansel Robles should be traded for whatever they can get for him.
Rogers.
Yeah. Rogers has one more year left, so he's kind of in the Berríos category.
Let's focus on maybe some sunshine and positiveness. Ober, how is he looking? Is he a long-term piece?
I think he's a long-term piece, but I'm still not sure what role that piece is going to be. I go back and forth on him because I don't know if he's going to have – his discrepancy between pitching to lefties and righties is really vast. I mean, it's really big. Like, righties are basically clueless against him because they cannot pick the ball up out of his hand because his extension is so big. But lefties have basically no problem hitting him because none of his pitchers are actually all that great. Like, his fastball is good because of the extension of his height. And none of his breaking pitches or off-speed pitches are really, really that effective yet. So he basically really has to get lucky and really pinpoint against lefties to have any success. And so I kind of wonder if he's really going to be viable as a long-term starter. When he started up here at the first time, I said I kind of see him as like a right-handed guy in a role like Devin Smeltzer, a guy that you kind of bring in for one time through an order in a bulk pitching role. I don't know if he's going to have the stamina or the effectiveness against opposite batters to be able to be a full-time starter, but, you know, he's had some good starts, that being said, so, you know, he's had some good ones and some bad ones, so we'll see what happens.
Is there anything coming up on the horizon in the from the Saints or the Mighty Muscles, whatever the hell they're called? Can we look forward to anything coming up from the farm, basically?
Yeah, I mean, there are some interesting pitchers. There are some interesting pitchers in the system right now. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not the guy to judge and tell you who is, because I don't really believe in designating number ones or number twos like some people do.
Yep.
I just feel like, I feel like there are some interesting guys that it'll be interesting to see how they do. Josh Winder is one guy who's really stood out this year. He's pitched mostly in Wichita in AA. He just moved up to St. Paul a couple weeks ago, and he pitched in the Futures game on Sunday in the All-Star ceremonies. Jordan Belazovich was out for a while at the start of the year, but he's had a few good games and Wichita recently, so he will probably move up pretty soon. And Jose Miranda is had a massive first game for St. Paul about 3 weeks ago, where he hit three home runs in his first Triple A game. He's one of those utility infield types who's not a shortstop, but he's played some second base and he's played some third base, so he'll probably, especially if they found a way to trade Donaldson right now, Jose Miranda's probably going to get a shot in the next couple months up at the big club. So I'd watch out for that too. There's some other pitchers at lower levels. I think Matt Cantorino has been good, but he's been hurt some too. Those are the ones that really stand out. So many guys have already been up at the big club and graduated. I don't think anybody expected Larnach to be here in May of this year. I think it was more of a later season at best kind of trajectory, but good for having been rushed, I think.
I don't know if it makes a difference, but I like having the Triple A club in St. Paul. It feels like it's just more connected. So, you get the young guys up here.
There's another hot prospect, faster. Jake Cave, who hit a home run in St. Paul tonight.
Oh my goodness, really? Who is this guy? We need to get him up here quick.
Brent Rooker hit three home runs tonight. We'll probably see him again.
So,
say a quick word on the draft.
I didn't really pay attention too much to the later levels, but the draft was weird. Everyone involved, everyone who mocked it out, will say that it was weird. Guys who people thought were going to go really high almost fell out of the first round for no real discernible reason. Ty Madden was pretty much a consensus top 12-ish pick, and he fell down to 30-something.
32.
Yeah. Just really, the first round, everyone was picking really, really inexpensive high schoolish lottery ticket dudes, including the Twins, who picked up
Chase Petty.
Yeah, fireballing guy with a janky delivery who will have two arm surgeries before he's able to legally drink.
I hope not.
I don't know, it was odd. It doesn't give a person a whole lot of faith that the GMs in general are expecting good things for next year, is kind of the impression that I got. Either that, or everyone was just going as cheap as they possibly could, and a couple of teams made out like bandits because of it.
And I'm guessing the Twins were not one of them.
The Twins were not one of them.
No, the Twins definitely
definitively not one of them.
They aren't super confident there will be a 2022 season.
But the thing about it is, though, sure, there won't be a 2022 season, fine. But there will theoretically eventually be baseball played again. And at that point, man, I'd love to see the top 10, even try at going after Madden or one of those other guys that were falling down instead of, Cole Stewart part two. It was frustrating to watch the Twins not clean up on what were opportunities to, sure, you would have paid a little bit above slot, but you would have paid a Madden way less than he was expecting to get. So it would have been a deal. There were opportunities out there and the Twins didn't take them.
And the Twins have been good with spending their money wisely in those rounds as well.
Right, and this could all be nonsense because Madden could explode his arm tomorrow and Petty could be DeGrom part two, but that's not what the Twins are expecting with the way they did this. That isn't the type of draft you have if you're expecting... Yeah, it was a weird, everywhere that I was reading, all the other sites that I read afterwards, Fangraphs and MLB and everything, it was, everyone was taken a little bit aback by the way that not just the Twins, but 26 of the teams played it out.
Well, that's positive going forward.
Yeah, there's some more hope for you guys.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Glad we can be the beacon of positivity for everyone going forward.
Petty can throw 102, so he could be the next
Bruce
Dargratterall too.
That we traded. Anyway, yeah.
We won't trade this guy. And he'll, I don't know, pitch out of the bullpen or something. It'll be great.
Again, we will end this on just a stamp of positivity. We will leave, you know, that there with the Twins. And why don't we, you know, go ahead and feature something positive like the 2021 WGOM Summer Mix. And we would like to highlight a number of songs from it. And starting us off will be DK.
All right. Well, everybody knows what I'm going to pick anyway. That's why I'm going first.
Do it.
Song of the Summer 2021, Sharon Van Etten and Angel Olsen, like I used to listen it to is, it.
It is again a song. Again. It is a song of the summer. It's so good.
When you hit it on the mix, just hit repeat like 5 times.
Yes, that was Angel Olsen and Sharon Van Etten. Their song is Like I Used To. It's great. Danica's Ghost, what do you have?
I'm going to choose Mannequin Pussy, Drunk 2.
I was going to if you didn't.
This is the best song.
It's so good.
It's the very best song. The
best song.
And I just said it too. This song is so good too. Oh my goodness.
Turned me on to Miss Grit here about a month and a half ago. She is awesome.
That is a great song. Oh yeah.
Yeah, everything off that EP is great.
Nimish, this is like if Sleigh Bells took some tranquilizers. So if that sounds like your kind of thing, like.
All right, and you know, I'm looking at the list. It's really hard for me to choose which to feature. I think I'm gonna go with George Benson's. Give me the night. Give me the night. The mix is good, everyone. Check it out.
Mix I will, is good.
And yeah, that's going to do it for us, ladies and gentlemen. And hopefully we can give some more, you know, optimism next time.
We'll do some reviews of trades after they make
the
trades.
Yeah. We'll be back on
the trade. Hot takes.
Oh, it will be hot. It will be sizzly hot.
Even hotter than tonight.
All right. Thank you. We love you. And we will talk to you again soon.
Yeah! Cha-ching!